All right, if you take your Bible, please, this morning, and turn to Matthew chapter 3. We're continuing our messages from the book of Matthew. So Matthew chapter 3. And this morning we will be picking up in verse 13. That's where we left off last week. So verse 13, Matthew 3. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for your word, and thank you for another opportunity to look into its pages. I pray that you would, by the work of your Holy Spirit, instruct us and teach us and help us to understand the things that we see in the scriptures this morning, and then help us to make application to our lives. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. If you happened to be here last week or were watching by way of the internet, you'll remember that we spent the entire preaching time talking about John the Baptist. We looked at his birth, we looked at his background, we looked at his calling, and we looked at his ministry. And we saw that his purpose was to point people to Jesus, to prepare Israel for the coming Messiah. And he told everyone he could that they needed to repent, that is, they needed to turn from their sin and put their faith in this coming Savior, because he was coming to establish his kingdom. And when they did that, when they turned from their sin and they put their faith in the coming Savior, they were then forgiven and they went on to be baptized, testifying to their faith in the one who would come. And John baptized thousands of people. We read last week that whole cities came out to hear him. And then Jesus showed up and asked to be baptized. And that put John in a dilemma. He was thinking to himself, why in the world would Jesus need to be baptized, especially by me? I mean, did Jesus need to repent? Of course not. He had no sin. We learned a few weeks ago in one of our Matthew studies that sin nature is passed on to somebody from their father. And Jesus' father was God. So he had no sin nature. He had no sin, had no need to repent. How about this? Did John have to remind Jesus that he was the Messiah? You know, Jesus is like, oh yeah, I forgot about that. I guess I should put faith in myself and believe in me. No, that's just silly, right? And John definitely couldn't understand why the pure, sinless, holy, righteous Son of God would come to him, a sinner, to be baptized. John felt like Jesus ought to be baptizing him. So why did Jesus feel the need to be baptized? Now, are you ready for this? This is really deep. Verse 15, it says, to fulfill all righteousness. You know what that means in modern English? Because it's the right thing to do. That's why. That was his motivation, because it's the right thing to do. And really, that's to be the same motivation for us being baptized, because it's the right thing to do. It's the very reason why when we preach the gospel and people get saved, we then baptize them, because it's the right thing to do. We do it in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us in the Great Commission just before he left this world in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And so we baptize because we're supposed to. That's pretty simple. But now, let's go back and look at this passage in some detail and learn some important things about baptism. Number one is this: baptism does not wash away sin. And we know that because Jesus was baptized. If baptism was for the purpose of washing away sin, Jesus would have had no need to be baptized. And so it's not for that purpose. Baptism has nothing to do with getting rid of sin. Now, if you would keep a marker here or keep your finger here or something, I want you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3 for a moment. First Peter chapter 3. And once you get there, look at verse 18. Beginning in verse 18, 1 Peter 3, "For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." Now that right there is the gospel in a nutshell. Right? Jesus went to the cross, he suffered for our sins, he died for us, he rose again in order to bring us to God, in order to make it possible for us to have a relationship with God. Verse 19 says, "By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." Apparently what happened was between the death of Christ and his resurrection, those 3 days and three nights, Jesus did some preaching. He preached to some spirits in prison, some spirits in hell. Look, it says, "which sometimes were disobedient once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah." So some spirits, some fallen spirits, got into trouble in Noah's day. They were sent to hell. Jesus preached to them for 3 days. I don't know what he preached to them, but he preached to them. But let's continue on here in verse 20. It says, "In the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water." Now let me just stop there and say that the folks who believe that you are saved by being baptized love that passage of Scripture, because of the fact that it says eight souls were saved by water. Did you see that? They say, "See, these souls were saved by the water." But let me tell you something. That is not the right passage you want to go to talk about baptism saving you. Because it's in the context of Noah. Think about this. Everybody who went down into the water died and went to hell. This is not a good passage to teach salvation by baptism, right? Those eight souls that were saved, Noah and his family, were saved by being kept dry from the water, not by going down into the water. So this is not a passage you want to use for that, but they love that phrase. They love to pull it out of its context. Now go on to verse 21. "The like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us." Now that word "figure" is a key word here, because it means picture. picture. What it's saying is that baptism is a picture of your salvation. It's not your salvation. And then to make it perfectly clear, God adds a little parenthesis here. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. There is no cleansing from any filthy sin by baptism. It is not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. But here's what it is. The answer of a good conscience towards God. You know what that means? It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. That's what baptism is. It's the right thing to do, but it does not wash away any sin. Baptism does not save anybody. It is simply a picture of the salvation that you should have already experienced before you get baptized. Now, let's go back to Matthew chapter 3. And notice verse 16, because here we see the method of baptism. It says, Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now, in order to come up straightway out of the water, that means he would have had to go down into the water, right? And that's how baptism works. Down into the water and then up out of the water. The word baptizomai, which is the Greek word that's used here, is the word for immerse. And that's the only meaning that it has in the Greek. It's to immerse. There's a different Greek word for pour. There's a different Greek word for sprinkle. This one means to immerse. And that's the method of baptism. Immersed in the water and then up out of the water. Now, of course, at Jesus' baptism, some different things happen than at our baptism. Continue on there in verse 16. It says, he came up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Did anybody have any of that happen at their baptism? I know I didn't have it happen at mine, right? That's because you and I were not being presented to Israel as their Messiah. That's what's taking place here. He is anointed with the Holy Ghost. The Father speaks his blessing upon the Son. And this marks the official beginning of the earthly ministry of Jesus at 30 years of age. And by the way, this is the same context of the story that I shared last week from John chapter 1, where John the Baptist sees Jesus coming towards him. John's been baptizing and preaching, and he sees Jesus coming towards him, and he turns the attention of the crowd to Jesus. And in John 1:29, he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. He presents Jesus to Israel as their Messiah. And that happens right here in the midst of what's happening in Matthew 3 at Jesus' baptism. So this is his official presentation to the nation of Israel as their Messiah. And so he has some different things happen at his baptism that we don't have happen in ours, because we are not the Messiah. We are not the Messiah. Now, let's continue along the lines on this subject, and let's talk about the meaning of baptism. If you would turn with me to the book of Romans and chapter 6. And beginning in verse 3, It says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So baptism pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus, that he died for our sins on the cross, and then was buried for 3 days, and then he rose again. And baptism is a picture of that. When you're standing in the baptistry, that's a picture of Jesus on the cross. When I lay you down in the water, that's a picture of Jesus being buried. And when I pull you back up, that's a picture of Jesus being resurrected. And by being baptized, what you're doing is you're testifying to the church and really to the world that you believe that gospel, that you indeed have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. That's what baptism pictures. And by the way, when it comes to Jesus' baptism, it was also prophetical. It pointed to the fact that even though he had come to establish his kingdom on earth, that kingdom would be rejected, and they would send him to a cross. But he would not stay dead, because 3 days later, he would rise victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And thank God he did, because if he did not, we would all be hopeless and on our way to hell. Amen. That's what baptism pictures. It pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's also consider this question. Who should be baptized? I want you to turn with me back to the book of Acts. Acts and chapter 8, please. Beginning in verse 26, it says, and the angel of the Lord speak unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So Philip's been preaching a particular spot, and the Lord says, move on to this particular spot. And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem to worship. So the person in the chariot that the Lord tells him to go speak to is the treasurer of the country of Ethiopia. It says in verse 25, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias or Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. And this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 53, which is a chapter that is a prophecy of the death of Christ, written 600 years before it ever takes place. It says, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this? Of himself? That is Isaiah talking about himself here, or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. He began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. Now notice this. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, again, there's immersion. They went down into the water. They came up out of the water. The Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, caught away Philip, and that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. So who should be baptized? Well, the answer is found in three little words in verse 37. If thou believest. Baptism is for believers in Jesus Christ. Now, a couple of things come out of that. First of all, there is no infant baptism in the Bible. See, infants don't have the capacity to believe in Christ. And they don't have the capacity to choose to be baptized. The story of the Ethiopian establishes this truth. You have to be old enough to believe in Christ and old enough to choose to be baptized. You will not find one single instance of infant baptism anywhere in the Bible. But here's the second thing that comes out of this, and we've already mentioned a little bit. Baptism is only for believers in Christ. Baptism means absolutely nothing if you're not a believer in Christ. If you're not a believer in Christ, if you have not repented of your sins and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that he died and rose again for you, then all that's going to happen if you get baptized is you're going to go in a dry sinner and come out a wet sinner. That's all. Because baptism cannot save your soul. I remember years ago, when we had that terrible problem here in Pasco with all that gasoline contaminating the public water supply. You remember that? That was a terrible time for folks who were on the public water supply. But I remember, because we always fill our baptistry from the public water supply. So when I would baptize people, I'd tell them, don't swallow this, because it won't save your soul, but it might give you brain damage. So thankfully, that's over with, right? They relined all the pipes, and they put in new wells and all of that. But it's true. It will not save your soul. I could take you up here to Pasco Reservoir, and I could dunk you under the water so many times that every fish in the lake knows your name and birth date and social security number, and it still won't save your soul. Because you don't need baptism to be saved. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. And if you've never done so before, then you need to open your heart up and invite Jesus in to forgive your sins, to give you everlasting life, to give you a home in heaven, to make you a child of God, part of God's family. You need to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Because baptism can't save you. Only Jesus can. Now, if you would, turn with me to one more passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And we'll begin reading in verse 23. Of course, this is Paul writing here. He says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye to show the Lord's death till he come. Well, isn't this interesting? The only other ordinance of the church, the Lord's Supper, shows us the same thing baptism shows us. Its only purpose is to remind us that we have trusted in Jesus as our Savior. And we are trusting the fact that he shed his blood and died on the cross for our sins. And baptism and the Lord's Supper mean absolutely nothing if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ. They mean nothing, right? To an unbeliever, baptism and the Lord's Supper are nothing more than empty rituals. But for those of us who are believers in Christ, they hold a very, very special meaning. Their whole purpose is to remind us what Jesus has done for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for sending Jesus to be our Savior. We realize that if he were not willing to go to that old rugged cross and die in our place, that we would have no hope beyond this life. But we thank you that because of his great work through his death and resurrection, we can not only know forgiveness of our sin, but we can know that in eternity we will be with you. And what great comfort that brings to our hearts today. Thank you for that. And once again, Lord, we pray that if there is anybody here in the room or anybody watching by way of the internet that have not received Christ as their Savior, I pray that today they'd see this to be their greatest need and they would open their heart and invite Jesus in to be their Savior and Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.